We all have that friend who always has something negative to say about Christmas, or one who believes it's a pagan holiday and just doesn't celebrate it at all. Wouldn't you love to be able to give them a tool that would unwrap all of these common misconceptions? Or be so studied on the subject that you could teach the truth in love? Now you can. The Mysteries of Christmas Unwrapped are 4 television broadcast messages where Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim open the Word of God and expound on Jewish history and culture to answer questions like, why is it right to celebrate on December 25th? When was Jesus actually born? Why do we worship on Sundays? And many more. These powerful teachings are available on CD or DVD by calling 1-800-972-3447 or logging on to billybrim.org. Be ready to unwrap the mysteries of Christmas.
Welcome to the Voice of One Witness with Dr. Billy Brim. This month, Dr. Brim is joined by her daughter Shelley discussing the mysteries of Christmas. Shalom, I'm Billy Brim, and I'm welcoming you along with my daughter talking about Christmas. We decided to talk about angels. You know, angels are all through the Bible. A couple of times in the book of Daniel himself. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, I'm going to read this, Daniel 3:28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted him." That's when they got out of the fiery furnace. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, recognized that an angel was sent to save their lives. And then Daniel, speaking of getting out of the lion's den.
Yes.
"My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me." So there we see that angels can be there for deliverance.
Yes.
And of course, Shelley, now we're here and we're celebrating the coming in the Christ child, the birth of Jesus. And angels are all around the first coming of the Lord. And you can be sure, folks, they're going to be all around the second coming.
Yes.
The rapture and the second coming. Yeah. They're going to be manifesting. Shelley, I know that I have a guardian angel. I've never seen him. But a man, Oliver Lindberg from Sweden, who was known back in the 80s as missionary behind the Iron Curtain, he wrote about having seen my guardian angel. And my mother, who was, you know, I was going, it seems like God sends me to the dangerous places. I think it was because I had to be delivered from fear when I was a kid. And anyway, Oliver had seen my guardian angel. He wrote about it.
Yes.
And I found his newsletter all dog-eared in my mother's Bible. And she had used it to comfort herself whenever I would be like going overseas or going behind the Iron Curtain. And here's what Oliver wrote. "In the Bible, we're frequently informed that angels surround us in order to help us. Let me illustrate this by telling you an experience I had in Mobile, Alabama, late in January of 1986. Now, this is Oliver writing. "Ula and I were invited to a missionary conference to participate in our capacity as missionaries to the Eastern Bloc countries. Upon arrival, Ula and I were informed that we were scheduled to do a live TV show that evening. This made it impossible for us to attend the opening evening meeting. But we arrived at the end of the service. I was the preacher. And so he's saying we didn't want to disturb the preacher. We took our seats in the back of the church. The speaker was inviting people to salvation. Suddenly, I saw a 6-meter-tall angel standing behind the speaker. That's 20 feet. The angel held his wings around the preacher as if to protect her. In the next moment, I saw the angel standing with his hands and arms on a big golden sword. The sword was glittering. The vision lasted about half a minute. My whole body shook, and I asked Ula, 'Did you see the angel?' She had not, but she saw my face, that something had happened," Ula's his wife. "I shared it with her, and we could both meet with and feel the obvious presence of God. After the meeting, when I shared my experience, 2 people turned towards me and said they had had the same vision. One was Lucy McKee. Afterwards, I meditated over my vision and I asked God for an explanation of why he had shown an angel to me. The Lord gave his answer and said, 'All those of my children who have made up their minds to be at my disposal in the spiritual battle, have a fighting angel like this for personal protection. The task for this angel is to fight for and guard my servants. And Mother had written on the newsletter, "Thank you, Jesus, for protecting her."
That comforted Nana.
That comforted her.
You know, I was seated behind him when it happened.
You were seated behind him when he had mm-hmm. that?
All of a sudden, this dignified man is just acting wild. And his wife next to him, like, "Do you see it? Do you see it?" And I'm just watching the two of them. And then later, he was asked to share, and he could hardly talk.
Well, they said he's began to speak Swenglish.
Yeah, Swenglish.
He would mix up his Swedish with his English.
Right.
And so now I want to talk about another vision, and this is the vision has to do with guardian angels.
Okay.
And Kit and I had just been baptized with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and we left Collinsville to go to Baton Rouge. And Kit was down there with M.W. Kellogg Construction Company. They were building a chemical company, and now when he saw this, it's going to be 3 years that his job's complete, and he finished it in May. He finished it in January 1970, and we had 4 children in school, and you weren't going to get out of school till May. So he took a short-term job in a chemical plant and in maintenance to wait until you guys got out of school. And I didn't really know how dangerous his job was in that chemical plant until this confrontation with his guardian angel. The plant manufactured a gas, a deadly gas, that is used in things like Clorox and other things. I think it's called phogene, but I don't know. They're the only ones in the whole United States that produce it.
Yes.
And so it's I mean to tell you, they sold their product at good prices, no
yes.
competition.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when some of this gas left over from World War I would just travel in a rail car across the state, the people would have, you know, open protests
mm-hmm.
against it. So anyway, Kit was in this plant. Really, really dangerous.
Remember.
One day something went wrong. When I knew about it was when Kent walked up at the house in the middle of the afternoon. That guy was an Indian. He was dark. And his face was white, blanch white. He walked up in that yard, and I knew something was wrong. I said, "Kent, what is it? What's wrong?" And so he then explained to me what went wrong. Something had gone wrong with the plant. One of the managers of the plant said, "You know, if we go down, we're going to lose millions of dollars. All we have to do is something needs to be fixed up there, just something simple. If someone will just go up this ladder and go up there and fix that, then everything will be okay and we won't have to shut the plant down." If they shut the plant down, it took them days to get it back up again. And so he said, "We just need someone to do that. Now, you know your dad." And he said, "I'll do it." And he was strong, and he was a little bit macho, you know.
Yeah.
He was a really precious person, but
he was a football hero.
He was
hero,
a man's man,
so
you know.
He
said, "I'll do it." And so he started to climb. And when he was going higher and higher, somewhere near the top, he heard someone say, "Stop." I had written this up, so I'll read it. He went on. "Stop," he heard again, but he went on. "Stop," he heard the third time. And then he heard this. He said it was just like an audible voice. "If you do this, you are more stupid than I thought you were. And I refuse to be responsible for you this time." In an instant, incidents in his life where his life had been changed flashed before him and he saw them.
Yes.
Like on a television screen. In the first one, he was in the second grade. It was raining hard. And his mother had called a taxi just in Little Prior, Oklahoma, back in those days, you know. Called a taxi back in the 40s and sent him to school in a taxi. Well, he hadn't shut the door completely, and when the taxi turned a fast corner, he slid out the door and across the road, skinned him up, and all kinds of things. His mother was angry because he went on to school, and the taxi driver didn't even tell him, but he saw that scene. In the next scene, he was about 18 or 19 years old, and his friend, whom he called Lass, Lassley, they'd been on a hunting trip. And so Lass took the gun that he had, and Kent's driving the car, getting ready to get in the car, and he took his gun, and he put it in the back seat. Well, it wasn't unloaded. And the gun went off, whizzed right by Kent's head, and went out the door. And so he saw that scene. And in the third scene, he was driving home from college one weekend on the ice,
yes.
And his car just spun all around in a 360. But Kent told me this. Those three scenes passed before him. Evidently, times his life had been saved by an angel.
By this angel. Mm-hmm.
When that angel warned me for the third time, it was like a presence left me. Like somebody who'd always been with me left. I felt utterly alone. even though I wasn't always conscious that the angel was there, but I was conscious of when he left. At this chilling feeling of aloneness, Kent turned and scampered down that ladder to the ground and said, I'm not going to do it. And they said, fine, and shut down the plant. Dr. Roy Hicks, who was the head of Foursquare Gospel, yes, west of the Rockies,
well respected,
he would always teach on angels, and he would tell this story. And he would particularly draw attention to what the angel said. If you do this, you're more stupid than I thought you were, and I refuse to be responsible for you this time. You see, they are responsible.
They are given charge
over you. Now, I was telling this story around the work table there at Kenneth Hagin Ministries one day, and this woman said to me, well, that's, I don't know, I can't believe that, because she said, my 16-year-old son was killed in a motorcycle accident just recently. Why did he save your husband and he didn't save my son? And so I didn't have a full answer on it, Shelley, but I thought it depended on the will.
Yes.
Kid heard that stop three times. What if he had not paid attention and he'd gone on? He had to use his will.
Yes.
And I think that on that woman's son, I think, because she was a woman of prayer.
Right.
And I think that God had warned him.
Yes.
I would just pretty almost bet my life on it.
Yeah.
That God had warned him, and something about him had overridden. So you don't want to override
the
protection and the warnings that angels are able to give us.
Right. And that keeps you from blaming God.
So praise the Lord for angels. Praise the Lord for those that announced Jesus' birth.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for those that kept Kent. Praise the Lord for my big old 20-foot angel right here. Praise the Lord, and we'll be right back with you in a minute.
Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer. This gathering is held on the beautiful landscape of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. You are invited to attend in person or our live stream at billybrim.org.
Two-thirds of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets, because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI.
This is just a small taste of what 3BI is. Every student we have agrees it is so much fun. Grab your phone or your computer and let me help you enroll today. Start by going to www.billybrim.org. Click on 3BI Institute. Learn more. Pick a course. Rightly dividing the word is a prerequisite for most of the courses, so it's a great start. Hermeneutics simplified for your enjoyment. Upon purchasing, you will be prompted to choose what type of student you would like to be. If you aren't interested in the degree path, select standard student. If you are interested in seeking an associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degrees in biblical studies, choose college credit student for a small additional fee. View your cart and proceed with payment. You will be given an access code to take the class. Each student will receive a downloadable, interactive student notebook that is a first-class textbook. You will reference it in your studies long after your time at 3BI is over. Start your classes at any time and proceed at your own pace. Once all sessions are complete, you will need to complete and satisfactorily pass the course quiz to gain class credit. And just like that, you're on your way. You can also give 3BI as a gift. What a life-changing, affordable investment in someone's life. I'd like to be the first to welcome you to the student body of Billy Brim Bible Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next week, shalom, shalom.